At Western Michigan University, the season of music is getting underway, and one of my longtime guests is returning, director of bands, Scott Borma. It's nice to have you here this morning, Scott.
Always great to be here.
And you have given us the opportunity to make a special announcement about the reconfiguration of bands at Western Michigan University. From here on out, it'll be a little bit different.
Yeah, if anybody is seeing an advertisement for this Sunday's concert by the WMU Wind Symphony, probably is scratching their heads saying, what is the Wind Symphony? I've never heard of that before. And basically, it's just a new fancy name for one of our concert bands. We have the School of Music enrollment has been growing steadily over the years, and we've gotten to a point where our two previous concert bands, the Symphonic Band and Concert Band, have just become these kind of unwieldy large ensembles. And in modern concert band world, It's kind of antiquated to have these really large concert bands, and so we're kind of making the move to make the size a little bit smaller, not too much smaller, but just make the clarity of sound a little bit better, and give all levels of our players opportunities to shine a bit more by having more one-on-a-part playing opportunities, and to just kind of have a little bit more clarity in the ensembles. And so we've actually shifted from having two concert bands to having three concert bands now, and the select ensemble made up of our upper-level undergrads and our graduate students will be called the Wind Symphony, and that's what I'm here to talk about today. That's our concert coming up on Sunday.
The concert is Sunday at 3 o'clock in Miller Auditorium, and it is free and open to the public, and we'll talk about some of the repertoire. It sounds like there's no lack of people interested in performing in Western ensembles, So you were easily able to create three ensembles here.
Well, we have, you know, when you make a change like this, you never know what's going to happen, and so this is our first go at it, and we've found that our concert band, which is the third of the three ensembles, is larger than we expected, and it's made up of both music majors and non-music majors, and it's going to be conducted by a new hire here at Western Michigan University School of Music, Dr. Mary Land. Mary was hired this past spring as our new instrumental music education professor, and she came from being in that same role at Young Harris College in Georgia, and in that same role she was also the director of bands there. So this is a perfect opportunity for her to be conducting one of our ensembles, and just really, really enjoying working with that ensemble. They'll have a concert coming up this semester. And
Dr. Mary Land.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, Maryland.
Hadn't thought of that yet, but you got me there.
Well, she's already just making a giant splash in our music ed department. We're all so excited to have her around. She's just a dynamic teacher and conductor and is already making connections with our schools in the area, and I think she's going to make some wonderful things happen here.
Yeah, the move to Michigan would be something of an upheaval.
Yeah,
she
has
Georgia.
To deal with all these crazy accents, the Midwest accents.
Yeah, terrible stuff. Well, that's really exciting news. She'll be conducting a future concert in the fall.
Yeah, they'll do one concert this semester. It'll be in December, on December 7th. I think that's Pearl Harbor Day, right?
So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that doesn't have anything to do with it, but if you want to remember Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th on Friday evening, the concert band will give a concert in the Dalton Center Recital Hall at 7:30.
Are you sharing directorship duties of these bands with anyone else?
Yeah, the Symphonic Band, which is now our second ensemble, will be conducted by Professor John Leonard. And John is our interim associate director of bands this year. And he is also the director of the Bronco Marching Band. And he just finished his master's degree here in conducting, and he just was in the right place at the right time. He was the logical choice to come in and replace our previous associate director of bands, David Montgomery, who took a music education position at Baylor University. So we're excited to have John in this role. He's doing a great job with the marching band, and you'll hear the Symphonic Band. Their first concert is this coming Monday evening, October 15 at 7:30, and that's in Miller Auditorium. But just we're so excited to have him at the helm of that ensemble.
Yeah, I think a large swath of Kalamazoo knows the marching band is on its game.
You can hear them pretty much everywhere.
Yes, they're doing great.
Yep.
And finally, you are director of bands, but you're a conductor of the Wind Symphony, which is the ensemble that puts together some of the most experienced musicians in the School of Music. You were saying that the ensembles had gotten a little unwieldy in terms of numbers. What is an ideal number for you?
Well, we have the Wind Symphony set at 55, 56 members right now.
Well,
and that seems like a nice manageable. It used to be about 67 to 68 members. And so anybody going to a concert, you probably won't even notice a change, but it gives us more flexibility with the kind of repertoire being written today. Most modern repertoire is being written in a same way that orchestral music is written. When you have your wind symphony or your wind section, your woodwinds and your brass in a symphony orchestra, it's one on a part. You'll have one first oboe, you'll have one second oboe, you'll have one first trumpet, sure. One second trumpet. So it basically gives us the opportunity to get that kind of a sound, and the modern repertoire being written by, we're fortunate to be in a time where a lot of fantastic composers are writing for bands, but they usually write with the idea that it's one on a part. And so any of the new music coming out no longer is written for these large symphonic bands. And so it gives us the opportunity to do those kind of pieces. Yet when we pull out a Holst suite or pull out the Hindemith Symphony or something, the classic band works from the 1900s, we still have enough students to really fill up that sound and just gives us more flexibility to do the kinds of things we'd like to do.
My guest is Dr. Scott Borma, who will be leading the University Wind Symphony in a full concert on Sunday at Miller Auditorium. Music begins at 3 o'clock, and let's take a look now at the program.
Yep. Well, we're opening with a piece by Jennifer Higdon, and it's called Machine. And it's
I just played a piece by her last
week.
Oh,
did you? Well, yeah. She's everywhere
these
days.
Is.
She won the Pulitzer Prize a few years ago for her violin concerto. She's won two Grammy Awards. And fortunately for us in the band world, she's writing some really compelling music for band as well. And so it's a two-minute concert opener, just kind of razzle-dazzle, machine-driving rhythms and brass and lots of flurries in the woodwinds, crazy percussion writing.
Good way to get the nerves out.
Yeah, exactly right. That's part of it. And this was actually written originally for orchestra, and it works really well for winds as well. A friend of mine, David Blahn, wrote this transcription just this past spring, and so we're one of the first ensembles to perform this version of the piece. And Jennifer talks about, she said, "I wrote Machine as an encore tribute to composers like Mozart and Tchaikovsky, who seemed to be able to write so many notes and so much music that it seemed like they were machines." So, but it does kind of sound like a machine, just these driving gears. And I think it's going to be a fun way to open our ears.
Well, it's so new, and we don't have a recording of the band transcription
right.
yet.
It hasn't been performed yet.
So our first selection of music will be from the Holst, which follows the Higdon. And here we have a piece that I would think many of the players have encountered.
You know, it's absolutely one of the top five most performed band pieces ever. And it was written in 1909. So it's been around for a long time. And it's, you know, Gustav Holst, who's known for the planets and such amazing music. We're so fortunate that he actually wrote a few band pieces for us. And this was his first go at it, first suite in E-flat for military band. And so every student in the ensemble has certainly heard it, and most of them have played it in some form. But I was surprised to see how many hands went up. I said, who has not ever performed the first suite in E-flat? I was surprised to see about half the band hadn't performed it yet. So makes me even happier that we're making this happen and giving them that, because everybody in a band should know this piece.
Holst didn't set out to sort of formalize what a great wind band should sound like, but this piece kind of serves as a turning point for wind symphonic
absolutely
music. He wasn't trying to change the world of orchestra music either, but the Planets sort of did the same thing.
Yeah, sure. Well, at the time he wrote this piece in 1909, the band world was just kind of, basically it was military bands and park bands, the Gilmore Band and the Entertainment Sunday Afternoon in the Park kind of bands. And mainly what they played were orchestral transcriptions and novelty tunes, light numbers. And so for Holst to have been commissioned to write this piece and take it seriously, like it's actual, you know, deep composition for the idiom. We're just fortunate to have that. And composers still, as a matter of fact, we've talked a lot in the past about composer John Mackey, a very a young composer who's writing a lot of compelling music for winds. In one of his pieces, he actually ends the piece with, there's a classic E-flat chord at the end of the first movement of this first suite that in the end of John Mackey's piece, he, in the same orchestration, has that E-flat chord just as an homage to what we composers that write for bands kind of look to as this is the beginning of this.
Well, why don't we sample some of the first suite for a band, E-flat in E-flat, by Gustav Holst. We'll start with the beginning movement. And once again, the University Wind Symphony performs Sunday at 3 o'clock in Miller Auditorium. A magnificent piece of music. We just heard the opening to the suite in E-flat by Gustav Holst for symphonic band, and it will be performed by the University Wind Symphony, which is a newly named ensemble consisting of the most experienced players in the School of Music, starting at 3 o'clock Sunday in Miller Auditorium. And my guest is Dr. Scott Borma, the director of bands here at Western Michigan University. Thank you for picking that piece. It kind of made my Monday start off rather well.
Yeah, it just never gets old. It's such a great classic. And we're very excited, too, that Bob Spradling, my predecessor, former director of bands here at Western Michigan University, he was here in that role from 1993 until 2013, 20 years, and just built an amazing program here that I fortunately get to drive his Ferrari every day by being in front of this ensemble. And so asked him back to come back and conduct a piece, and he's going to be conducting the Holst First Suite in E-flat this weekend. So we're very excited to have Bob Spradling at the helm again.
Yeah, very fitting, and I'm sure Bob's excited about it too.
The students are just loving working with him. He's just a fantastic conductor and just a delightful person, and I think it's going to be a great experience for everybody.
Now, the first suite has how many movements?
Three movements.
Three, okay. Yep. So we just heard the opening one, then there's more danceable kind of movements.
Yeah, and it's a fascinating thing about the piece is that every moment of the piece basically is based on a three-note motive. Bum, bum, bum. If you notice in the beginning of this piece, I don't have perfect pitch, so I wasn't singing on the right key there, but ba-da-dee-da-da-da, but that thing, bum, bum, bum. Halfway through that first movement, ba-da-da-da, it inverts that one step and a fifth. And that three-note motive is used through the whole piece. The second movement opens with bum 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 bum.
Sure.
So it uses that little fragment. The final movement, the march, bim bum bum boom, 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 uses that motive and back and forth, inverts and twists it around. It's really genius writing, how he takes that just little germ of an idea and expands it in so many different ways to create different melodies and ideas.
What a delight to actually study music and learn things like this. I've heard that piece my whole life, it seems like, and yeah.
When you know it's there, you can really find it. And sometimes there's a place in the final movement where the melody is bum 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 ba ga ga dum bum 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 ba da dum bum bum ba, but the melody underneath is bum bum bim bum or bum bum bim bum 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 bum. So bum bum bim, you know, it's right there hiding in the weeds too. So it's pretty fascinating to know that.
For you, if you're listening to a brand new piece of music and intrigued, do you really always wish you had a score to follow so that you could figure out how they're achieving
it? Absolutely, but it's more fun to try to just do it without the score and try to listen for it and pick it up. And as a composer myself, I'm always trying to figure out, you know, what kind of devices did this person use in creating these ideas. And sometimes, you know, like Mahler is known for some of his symphonies, you'll hear some of the same things that return in each movement. You'll listen to a Mozart symphony and the first movement is completely different than the second and completely different than the third. And it's just interesting what a composer decides to do or not do.
And sometimes based on the conventions of the day. My guest is Scott Borma, who earlier this hour announced a new configuration in the School of Music for its band ensembles. The top band will be the University Wind Symphony. Then there will be a symphonic band, which is conducted by Robert Leonard.
John Leonard.
John Leonard. Yep.
That's all right.
And the third band is called?
Concert Band.
Concert Band, University Concert Band, which will be led by Dr. Mary Land. So that's the big news for this Monday. Let's keep looking at the program. What comes after the Holst?
Then we go to a piece by Ron Nelson called Aspen Jubilee. And this will be conducted by our second year master's conducting student, wind conducting. Vince Rubino will conduct this piece. And Vince is doing a project for his master's thesis that incorporates music that has been composed to demonstrate landscapes and nature, and music that has the specific idea of showing what it feels like, in this case, to be in Aspen, Colorado. And pieces, you know, Aspen is nestled in the Rocky Mountains, and so there's just the tranquil beauty of being in the pastures at the bottom of the mountains, and the glorious beauty of the mountains and the streams. And Ron Nelson has just done a wonderful job of really collecting that spirit of being in Aspen. And we have this relationship with Ron Nelson here at the School of Music at Western many, many years ago. When I was in high school, he was one of our guest composers for the Spring Conference on Wind and Percussion Music. And he actually was commissioned to write the fanfare commemorating the opening of Dalton Center here at Western, our School of Music, in 1982. And I just happened to be a freshman in 1982. So I was among the first to walk down its halls, and I performed on that premiere of this fanfare that Ron Nelson wrote. And he ended up also falling in love with a WMU grad. She and I went to school together, and Michelle Miller and he live out in Scottsdale, Arizona now, and keep in touch. And I hear reports about what's going on in their lives on Facebook and things like that. So whenever we have the opportunity to play something by Ron Nelson, it always has a special place for us.
And looks like Mr. Nelson is now 88 or 89 years old.
Yeah, he's getting up there. Yeah, but he's still kicking and doing great things. And he's just many wonderful pieces for band over the years. He's written for all different idioms, but one of his pieces, his Passacaglia, which is Amajan, B-A-C-H, which translates, I won't get into the details, it translates into four notes that he manipulates through all the piece. He was the first composer to win all three major wind band composition prizes during one period for that piece, the NBA prize, the American Bandmasters Association Ostwald Award, and the Suttler International Prize. So he's a highly regarded composer, especially for music for band.
this piece is called Aspen Jubilee, yep. And Vincent Rubino is your graduate assistant conductor who is preparing the piece and will conduct it. Why don't we take a break to listen to a recording of Aspen Jubilee, which was composed in 1984 by Ron Nelson. What an exciting piece. That's Aspen Jubilee by Ron Nelson. My guest today is Dr. Scott Borma, who knows Ron Nelson. Their history goes way back, but he will not be conducting Aspen Jubilee on Sunday. That will be graduate assistant Vincent Rubino. I was a little surprised to hear the sound of ethereal singing voices in the middle of this piece.
Wonderful aspect of the piece. It just adds a completely hauntingly beautiful new flavor to the winds and percussion. And Kim Adams, our director of choirs here at WMU, was kind enough to lend us 8 of her sopranos from the University Chorale to sing with us on Sunday. And so we'll be seeing them for the first time this afternoon in our rehearsal and looking forward to adding that spice to the piece.
Oh, yeah. They'll add a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
I wanted to tell you, too, back when I mentioned earlier that Ron was commissioned to write the opening fanfare for Dalton Center back in 1982, and I was a freshman here, and I was a budding composer wannabe at the time, and I was writing a lot of music for bands and arrangements for bands, and the director of bands at the time, Richard Suddendorf, encouraged me to send a band piece that I had written to Ron Nelson after he had been here for that opening. And I was like, oh, he doesn't know me. He's not going to want to take time to listen to my new band piece. And he was teaching at Brown University at the time in Rhode Island. And so I sent the piece off to him. And about 2 weeks later, I got about a 9 or 10 page handwritten response from Ryan Nelson, like completely positively critiquing my work.
I mean, he thought it was going to be the other way.
Oh yeah, he was very kind, but very pointed, and really pointed out some very helpful things in my writing. And it was a truly significant opportunity for me to get that kind of input from somebody I admired so much. So I have a soft place for Ron Nelson in my heart.
Well, it certainly speaks to his character as well to take the time to do that when, you know, that is. A lot to ask to of even a stranger to say, I'm going to look at your piece and give you as much feedback as I can. Yeah. The concert, again, by the University Wind Symphony, formerly the Symphonic Band, is this Sunday at 3 o'clock in Miller Auditorium. And it is, as always, a free concert open to anyone. Vincent Rubino conducting the Aspen Jubilee, and I assume that you're back on the podium for the next
piece. I'm back on the podium for the next couple.
Yeah. Okay, well, introduce us to what happens next.
Yeah, then we play a piece by Andrew David Perkins, and it's called Asylum. And Andrew is the director of bands at Fenton High School here in Michigan. And he has degrees from Michigan State and University of Michigan and Berkeley, and is writing some really compelling music for winds these days. And kind of stumbled upon this piece called Asylum, and it was written about the Traverse City State Hospital here in Traverse City, Michigan. It used to be known as the Northern Michigan Asylum, and it was built in 1885, and it's on the National Register of Historic Places. And the building, if you go to Traverse City, if you ever eat at a restaurant called Stella, it's one of their best restaurants up there. It's in this building, and they've turned this building into a bunch of different shops. I think there are some apartments now, but the building itself is just gorgeous, and knowing that it used to be an asylum, it kind of carries also just some, you know, emotional feelings of, gosh, what happened here? And and by all accounts, it was a very positive place. It wasn't, you know, something that you see where patients were mistreated or anything like that. It seems like it was a very positive place for people with mental disorders and issues.
If I could jump in, sure. I spent a little time growing up in Traverse City.
Oh, okay.
That's where our teachers took us to identify trees, because the campus was filled with different species of trees, and you know, we collected leaves, and it really was a like a college campus with gardens.
Right.
At some point, it was a very active, thriving place.
Yeah.
But fortunes change quite a lot.
Yeah.
I think we saw the change in policy toward institutions in mm-hmm. Michigan, and a lot of them are closed.
Right, yep, absolutely.
Or mostly closed,
right.
Yeah.
So a lot of history in this complex, and so this piece is a tone poem. It's just very pretty music, but it also has an eeriness to it, and it attempts to reflect the complex beauty and the pain and healing of the people who lived there and worked there, and the architecture. It's just a unique set of buildings.
Are we able to hear that one today?
We don't have a recording of that. It's a very new piece, and so this will be one of the recordings that'll soon be out there.
That's always one of my favorite topics with you. It's like, what brand new piece? It's such a vibrant area of music.
Yeah, there's so many great composers writing compelling music for winds and percussion that we're living in an era that's very exciting for those of us in the band biz.
And here you're showcasing a Michigan composer
mm-hmm.
and a young voice who's writing about places that many of us are familiar with and know. So.
Yeah.
Well, I believe there's one last piece to talk about this hour.
And this is also a Michigan composer, Paul Dooley. And he's a professor at the University of Michigan. I got to know Paul back when I was associate director of bands at Michigan. And he was a composition student at the time and now is a professor there. And also, he's just writing some really exciting music for winds. He writes for all idioms, orchestras, and chamber ensembles. But he's getting a lot of notoriety in the band world. And this piece that we're going to play was just written 2 years ago, and it won the Sousa ABA Ostwald Award and the National Band Association William D. Ravelli Composition Award, and it's getting a lot of notice these days. It's really fascinating music, and a three-movement piece, and very, very challenging, very vibrant music.
I'm hoping we can hear two of these movements, so let's start with movement one from Masks and Machines by Paul Dooley. Wow, excellent piece, Scott. I'm just in love with it at first hearing.
Yeah,
Paul Dooley. You said this composer, Paul Dooley, is based at University of Michigan.
Yep, yeah, he's one of the professors there, and professor of performing arts technology at U of M, and he studied composition there with all of their big composers, many of whom write for bands, Michael Dougherty and Bright Sheng, Evan Chambers, Frank Tekeli, and on and on. But the piece is just it's really got a lot of attention throughout the country. People are just drawn to it, and you can hear as we were talking while you were playing that it's very chamber music oriented a lot, and then all of a sudden everybody will come in with these lush brass sounds, and it's just a great opportunity for our players to play one on a part and really have very high expectations and responsibilities to contribute toward the piece.
It's a three-movement work called Masks and Machines. Yeah. Can you give me any insight into the Masks and Machines part?
He describes it. He says it's inspired by early 20th century works of Bauhaus artist Oscar Schlemmer, and the neoclassical music of Igor Stravinsky. Stravinsky went through a period in his writing where he was bringing back old styles, Baroque and classical styles, with his voice, and this piece kind of uses that as a springboard. Paul Dooley says, I admire the simplicity of shapes and color in Schlemmer's works, such as the Bauhaus Stairway and Triadic Ballet, as well as the Renaissance and Baroque musical influences in Stravinsky's Pulcinella. And you can certainly, if you're familiar with Baroque music, you can hear that in that opening movement, the contrapuntal nature of it.
The second movement, we'll be passing over today, but of course the full concert is Sunday at 3 o'clock. What does he continue with in the second movement?
There's a lot of, it's lush oboe solo, lush English horn, bassoon writing, and beautiful brass cushions. A lot of just really flowery woodwind rips and flowing. It's a middle movement in that it's slow and lyrical, but it's got all kinds of just flowery. I can't think of a better word than that of ornamentation and things flying around that just create a really unique, interesting texture. It's unlike anything I've ever heard, I think.
Brand new piece, 2015, already just embraced by top wind bands around the country.
Right.
And the final movement, it has a tempo indication. Is that it? A quarter note equals 168?
Yeah, it doesn't really say anything much more about it, but... Kara, you're going to really like this piece because it starts with some pretty dazzling double-tonguing in the flutes.
Great. That's not hard at all.
No.
Before we hit the final movement, I'd like to thank you for joining me here this morning. I know rehearsal starts in about 6 minutes.
Yep.
And the concert will be this Sunday. I wish you a wonderful afternoon of music with the band, as well as guest conductor Robert Spradling and graduate assistant Vincent Rubino. Any final thoughts on the program and the season?
I just hope you can all be there. It's going to be a lot of variety and great music making by great students from Western, and hope to see you Sunday.
All right. Further details are at the School of Music website, wmich.edu/music/events. And thank you, Dr. Boromov. And we'll see you again soon to talk about the next concert.
I look forward to it.